in their lives, you know. We wanted to be traditional and live and worship God in these ways. But I never could see no change in nobody, you know. There's the main thing was alcohol, and then in our tribe, you know, in our little community, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of abuse going on. There's a lot of fights.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a man who was trapped by drugs and alcohol. But the day he turned to God, he was completely set free.
My name is Leo Bird. I'm Cherokee from Chewy, Oklahoma. Seem like I come from a proud people. We're under 200 to 300,000 tribal members. And we were moved from North Carolina, Alabama way. And we stopped in a place called Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I just live just east of Tahlequah, about 24 miles. So the Tahlequah is the capital of the Cherokee Nation. And in this little community that I live in, it used to be very traditional. You know, in our tribe, we practiced the stomp dance. That was our way of worship. And I could remember my grandpa and them being medicine men, and my dad practicing medicine. And we all seen this, and that's what we grew up with. The place that we grew up with was mostly natives there, and we all could connect. We understood each other. And the gospel was just something that we would say, I guess, was a white man's gospel. We never did really connect with it. You know, we all gathered together in certain times of the month to do our stomp dances. That was building a fire and putting four logs in each direction. We would call it the four directions, you know, and there were a lot of things that would go on to get these things, dances ready. I can remember my dad leading the dances. I can remember my mom wearing shackles. The women usually wore shackles when we did the stomp dances. And my aunts and my uncles and everybody. It was just a big feast. We would eat in the daytime, play sports. And then in the evening, that's when the spiritual things would come out. We would hear the medicine men begin to count down to evening time to get ready for the stomp dance. But, even though we all were there, you know, most of us young guys, we never did really know what it was all about. We couldn't understand it really, but we were involved in it. And to me, I could see that the older ones were just doing it as well, you know. In our lives, you know, we wanted to be traditional and live and worship God in these ways. But I never could see no change in nobody. You know, there was the main thing was alcohol, and then in our tribe, you know, in our little community, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of abuse going on. There's a lot of fights. You know, I couldn't understand why we would do these things, and still yet try to praise God in a way that we saw fit and live another way when we weren't worshiping God in those times. I always felt there was an emptiness in my heart. And, you know, I just didn't feel complete. You know, I knew there was something missing. But, I can remember, you know, an elderly man that would come down and witness to the people there. And then my mom was the first one to receive the Lord. You know, even in our stomp dances, you know, where they probably got laughed at and stuff, we really didn't care. But for me, I think that went on for years and years, and I just followed tradition. You know, I seen alcoholism in my family. I got five brothers and two sisters, and my dad, he usually drank quite a bit, and I used to play a lot of music in bars and stuff like that, and I could see him come home and abuse my mother quite a bit. And, you know, we were a poor family. Food wasn't always there. And I can remember leaving when I was about 13 just to get out of the house and start working for a while. And especially, you know, just to think about my other brothers and just to know that they could have food on the table if I wasn't there. You know, there was a time in my life that I wish I was adopted out of there. But I drank a lot, and I did a lot of drugs. I ran around to a lot of guys in different communities, just like gangs. Like we had our sections where we run at, and where we felt safe at. We always knew we had to have somebody to back us up. You know, been in a lot of fights, been in and out of jail a lot of times. Used to raise a lot of dope. Used to run around guys that had their own dope. We thought we was having a lot of fun, but I could see in our family, in my family, that we were all separated. You know, we fought each other. Her mom, she was a Christian. She was getting the worst of it. She would pray for us, but we would just keep running, doing the bad things. And things had to stop at some point. I can remember thinking about suicide before. You know, there was no point in living. There was no hope, and there was no future in my life. It was just, I don't know, I wasn't that smart. I didn't graduate from school. The road was endless, you know. People are running around with this. It was just bad influences, and I was a bad influence. You know, my sister had nephews that looked up to me. You know, they go to church every once in a while. And that was really the turning point in my life. I knew there was a heaven and a hell, and I wasn't doing nothing about it. If I loved my family, I thought one night when I was drinking, I said I'd do something about it. And I just want to ask God if he could use somebody like me to use me. You know, this was a few years after my dad died. One of the statements he made was when he was in the hospital, when he was about ready to die, he said that one thing I'm going to miss is my boys, because we wasn't saved. You know, my dad got saved toward the end of his life, and that stuck with me. And when I thought about my nephews and them, my family, and those that weren't Christians, that didn't know where they were going to spend eternity, I wanted to change. There had to be something better in my life. I can remember the day when I asked the Lord to come into my life and change me. Me and a buddy of mine called Billy Ray, you know, we were all hanging out, drinking and smoking. I've been out all weekend, I think, and I was just sat there thinking, you know, man, my life, I'm not doing nothing. And I just kept thinking about my nephew, you know, Nathan and Mitchell. And, thought about how much I loved them and what I could do for them. You know, and I knew from the preaching I heard before, you know, about heaven and hell, how wonderful God was. Not even thinking about if he was a white man's God or anything like that, but just knowing that he could help. And I said, if I love my nephews and my family, I'd do something about it. And I wanted to see how true God was. I wanted to see if God could really use somebody like me and lift me up to be an example for them. And that day, I thought about it. In that night time, I told my buddy, say, I gotta go. Say, I gotta go find somebody to talk to. And my cousin, who was a deacon, about 10 o'clock at night, I went over and knocked on his door. I can remember it was about 2 days before Christmas. I just asked him if he could talk to me. And he did. I needed to be right with God in my life. You know, we all do. You know, I was trained in the traditional ways, but I needed to be right with God, the Creator. I needed to hear from Him. And the only way I could hear from Him is to acknowledge that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus in my life. And that was the doorway to heaven, to God. When I could talk to Him, He would speak to me. And when I asked Him into my heart, there was a peace that come upon me. Nothing in this world can give you peace like God can give you peace. The world can't give you peace because they don't have it. But God can. And that's when my life changed. The drugs I had, the smoking, the alcohol, it all went away that same night. I gave that all up. And I never regretted it. I didn't pick it up or take it no more after that. And that was one of the signs that God gave me. A lot of people have to go to a drug treatment or alcohol treatment steps. But for me, it was just asking God to come in my heart. And I knew that I fully committed my life to the Lord at that point. And things changed. And when I asked God to come into my life to change me and use me, I never felt such a burden lifted off my. And now I've been on many different reservations telling people there's hope, there's a way of life. And the outcome is eternal life with God. I've seen people in the same situation I've been in that are looking for something to fill an empty spot in their heart, and the traditional things that Indians have and everything else they've tried and never helped them. But now I want to help the Native Americans across this reservations or wherever to put their life together, show them a different direction they could go.
What about you? Do you have an emptiness inside that you've been trying to fill? My friend, until you have peace with your Creator, you'll never be satisfied. And the only way you can have peace with God is to come to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God is just, and sin's penalty must be paid. You can pay it yourself or accept God's payment on your behalf, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was on that cross that God's justice was fully satisfied. He proved it by raising Jesus from the dead. God tells us in His book, the Bible, "He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.